Hello, everybody. So excited to be with you guys this week. Welcome to the Body, Soul, and Spirit podcast. We want to dive in and talk about today a very important topic that I think would speak volumes to each and every one of us, and that includes myself. And I want to talk about the inner critic that sometimes goes unnoticed. We don't really have it in our conscious part of our mind. It's oftentimes left there untended to. But more often than not, most of us will have this inner critic. It is a part of us that sometimes we're not quite aware of. It's in our soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. But it's that part of you that shames you. It's that part of you that criticizes you. And it's oftentimes the first part of us that we encounter when something happened in our lives. When you were young, oftentimes it's that part of us that we will encounter as a result of something traumatic, something difficult that happened to us. We might feel angry at something that happened to us. We might feel shameful. We might feel this sense of grief or as a result of this loss that we have had. And almost always, an inner critic will rise. It's typically the part of us that rises up as a result of things that happened to us when we were little, growing up. But it is the inner critic. Now, nobody wakes up and says, oh, I love that part of me. Typically, it's, I can't stand that part of me. But this critic needs to be looked at, this critical part of us. And we have to work with it. We have to know, wait, there's this original part of us and where it rose, how it started to come forth and be that voice in us. It's a part of us that we condemn. It typically has self-condemnation and not self-acceptance. See, self-acceptance is the soil that will bring healing into our lives, not self-condemnation. That critic, that inner critic, that voice that rose up, that part of you that condemns you, that shames you, that makes you feel bad about you, that criticizes you, it will never lead you to the soil of healing. Only self-acceptance will. Some may come to God and say, I need to, you know, maybe condemn this part of me, right? And now it's this part of you that's just really hard on yourself, especially those that when you come to God and it's just that voice, it didn't go away. It's still there. And it's that part of you that just really condemns it even harder. So you got to be careful. Those listeners that, you know, have given your life to God, but all of a sudden that voice tends to get louder. You feel bad about it, but it's an inner critic, a self-condemning part of you. It's that part of us that thinks that it's keeping us spiritual when in fact it's keeping us in a wound. It's that part of us that wants us to align. It's that part of us that says, don't mess up. It's that part of you that says, oh, there you go again. And that inner critic are very young parts of us. So when you think of that voice or that part of you, I want you to think of it in terms of a very young part of you. It's not something that just rose up just because. It's that part of you that happened a long time ago, something that happened to us long, long time ago, and we developed it early on in life. It started early. It's kind of like a three-year-old, right? You don't let a three-year-old just run rampant and just say anything and do anything. No, that three-year-old needs guidance. And it's that part of us that needs guidance. We need to lead it correctly with a lot of compassion. We need to become emotionally mature. We need to embrace that part of us, be conscious of it, because it's the critical parts of us. And they're not helping us understand that there is a better way. Self-acceptance is the beginning to a life of serving, to a life of acceptance. Now, self-condemnation, that inner critic, can be very painful. That leads us to areas in our lives that don't help us move in a forward motion. It's kind of like walking around with a broken leg. That's what that inner critic is doing to us. It's debilitating us. It's holding us back from really living the true plan of God that He has for our lives. It's that part of us that's not letting us grow. It's that part of us that really needs tending to. Now, when we have that inner critic, think of it as a broken leg. It's not really tended to. When you don't tend to it, it's not going to get better. So we need to tend to it. Understand that it is not the voice of reason. It is the voice of self-criticism and not the voice of self-acceptance. And it's not leading us to healing. There's no soil for healing there. This inner critic is young, and it almost feels like it's truth, right? It doesn't move us in a motion that would cause us to go forward. It shames us, and shame is really toxic. Shame will never be constructive. Criticism, inner critic, that voice inside of us, is really connected to shame. You see, there's a difference between shame. Shame has a voice, and so does guilt. See, guilt says you did something wrong, but shame says there's something wrong with you. And how we manage that inner critic is important, because the inner critic and shame is like that broken leg. It's debilitating. We have to treat it. We have to ask, why are you there? Not allow it to take the driver's seat, but understand that God doesn't see us that way. I want you to think of it with a lot of compassion, that part of you. And when you connect with God, who is really key to bringing that healing to us, not allowing that voice to overtake us, that voice that speaks harshly to you. And that's important, because I wrote something down today in the morning, and I thought about this, and I thought, wow, this is so true, that the level to which we allow others to hurt us is at the same level that we speak unkindly or critically of ourselves. Let me say it like this. The reason why you get hurt so bad when other people say things about you, that speaks volumes to the voice and the inner critic that is speaking against you. In other words, if you start to muffle or mute, or I should say, tend kindly to that part of you that rose up when you were little, that criticizes you, that inner critic, if you tend to it correctly, like a broken leg, you let it heal, that part of you. You don't let it rule. You don't let it be loud. You're not condemning to it. You don't shame it. You just realize and recognize, I am flawed. I need God in these areas of my life. I'm not going to allow that inner critic to speak to such an extent that makes me feel bad about me. Okay. When you do that, when other people hurt you, it's not as condemning. It is not as painful. The reason why it is so painful when other people talk bad about you or say ugly things about you is because the inner critic in you is very loud. So this is important for us to really tend to, right? Bringing that part of you that tends to criticize you, bring it to God, and both of you, God and you, work that part of you together. That's going to help you. That's going to bring that inner critic to lose its power. Oftentimes that inner critic has so much power. We've given it power. We've given it a place, right? So there's not that much relief. That's why it's important for us. And that's what I want to do in this podcast, to make you understand that this criticism, that's that part of you that criticizes really bad, right? You it's a painful emotion when you think about it. It's hurtful. And when it comes to this painful emotion, you know, we don't really know how to speak on behalf of that part of us that's feeling hurt. It needs to be tender how we speak to it. You see, the inner critic is going to cause you to do something. The inner critic is going to cause you to be mad at yourself. It's going to speak from a part versus speaking, from you as a whole person. It's speaking only part of you. Okay, let's say you didn't do something, or you failed to do something, or you didn't get it all right, right? And I'm talking about an area in your life that perhaps, yeah, you failed. But that inner critic tends to be extremely loud. And when it's loud, it never leads you to go, okay, what can I learn from that failure? It never really says, okay, what can I do to move in a forward motion? Or, hey, let me partner, co-labor with God, and then he will give me the instruction. He will correct me gently. He will correct me or discipline me or move me in the direction that I'm supposed to be moving in, right? He will steer me in the right direction. And then you co-labor with God. That's typically how you tend to that broken leg, that inner critic. When we don't do that, we don't co-labor with God. We just kind of let that inner voice just speak, and that inner critic, well, and we don't co-labor with God. What ends up happening is now we're angry at ourselves. Have you ever been really angry at yourself and you're going, oh, here I go again. You know, I do it all the time. But it's very important for us to not do that. I'm trying to get you to understand that that inner voice is a part of us. It's a part of us. We bump into that inner critic. Most of the time, we're not even aware of it. And so we're constantly criticizing ourselves. These are oftentimes automatic thoughts. So we can call them schemas. It's the road that you've been taking for a long time. It reminds you. It's the path that reminds you of maybe this bad memory, or it's that path that you keep taking. It's that constant thought. It's your go-to. It's that schema. It's that path that is well-paved. It's the one you go to. It's, you know, you have these beliefs, right, that you've grown up with, and it's just easy to go to. It's like, yeah, you go back and you falter back to that inner critic. It's that self-talk that you give yourself. And that thought, typically, it's your inner critic or your automatic thought. And it doesn't tell you a dialogue that will lead you to healing. It doesn't tell you a dialogue that would lead you to reason or to truth. It is a dialogue, a story, a narrative that you tell yourself. And it's hard on you. It doesn't give grace. It doesn't extend this grace to you, this mercy towards you. And it's even uncomfortable, if I should say it like this. Sometimes it's even uncomfortable for you to say things like, I'm lovable, or I'm worthy of love, or I can do this, right? Or it doesn't matter what other people think of me. I can't control that, but I can control what I think of me. And it's almost uncomfortable to say that, because you're so used to rejecting you. It's like that inner critic, right, that just speaks up for you. And it's those thoughts that you're like, oh, you're dumb, you know, you're incapable. Or when there's something scary that you know you need to step out in, it's that schema that immediately takes you to this low, rejected feeling of incapabilities of, you know, there's no way that you're going to think good about yourself. You know, you just think bad of yourself. And then it leads you to other things. And one of the things that it does lead us to is angry, towards ourselves. We're just angry. Then you falter to those thoughts like, oh, I messed up. Oh, you know, I shouldn't have done this or I shouldn't have said this. These are automatic thoughts. And we have to deal with that inner critic. When we don't deal with that inner critic, we're going to be stuck. We're going to be frustrated. We're going to stay wounded and festering those wounds because we're really not tending to that inner critic, that part of us that's broken. We just keep shaming ourselves. And especially when you have God in your heart, wow, that inner critic can really be on automatic thought. It's kind of like, you know, there you go again. Now God's mad at you. And truly, I just want to tell all my people that really have God in their hearts, that is the part of you that God wants to tend to. That's the part of you that God wants to help you with. Think about the parts of you that compare yourself. You compare yourself with other people. You compare yourself with others. That inner critic beats you up. It beats you up. I like to give that example. One of the movies that I like is Liar Liar. And it's a funny movie. And it's with Jim Carrey. And he's, you know, can't lie for a day. And he's in court. And he needs to lie, right? He's in this attorney. And he needs to lie. A lot of money's at stake. And so he doesn't know how to get out of it. So he goes into a restroom and he begins to beat himself up because he's trying to get out of this hearing. And so he goes into the restroom and he starts to beat himself up. And it's hilarious because when he goes before the judge and he's trying to describe, so to speak, somebody who beat him up, but it was really himself. And the judge says, who did this to you? And he said, a madman. And I often think about that because that's what our inner critic does. It beats us up. It doesn't allow us to receive love and compassion. And I often think of how my relationship with God has evolved over a period of time through losses, through grief. And I've noticed that even after the loss of my husband, my first husband, I just started to feel this sense of this inner critic that rose up. And I noticed it quite loud, if you will. And I often wondered what that was about. But, you know, it didn't really start after the loss. It didn't start after the grief. It really started when I was young. And when you know that there's a part of you that's so hard on you and you kind of start to go, wait, God is not like that. God does not see me that way. God is not harsh. Now, we humans are harsh, right? I've been guilty of being harsh with others. And we are taught wrong because there's this tenderness to the Father. And I think that's one of my favorite scriptures in Matthew 19, where it says, let the children come to me. Don't stop them because the kingdom belongs to them. It's like this little child, right, that just has such a loud voice and it's loud and it's beating you up and it's mean to you. And, you know, it's that part of you. And you just learned that. You learned that when you were young. You're hard on yourself. That's why you overperform, at least in my case, that's why I overperformed. This is a part of you that's just always comparing or criticizes you. And it doesn't really let you have a healthy sense of self-worth. And I've understood throughout these years that self-worth really empowers you. And when you have self-worth, it has nothing to do with what others think of you. It has nothing to do with what that inner critic is saying. And it has everything to do with what God says about you. Worthiness has everything to do with what Jesus did on the cross. And when you have a healthy sense of self-worth, it really empowers you. And when it empowers you, it leads you to care for yourself. And I think about how the greatest commandment that Jesus left us is love yourself. That is one of the greatest commandments. Of course, love him first, but loving yourself is key. And when you value you and you tend to that inner critic and you go, wait, that is not the voice of truth. That is not the voice of reason. That is the voice that rose up in my life when I was young. And it hasn't been treated with compassion versus treated with guilt right? You have a guilt trip because you have a guilt trip and now you feel guilty, 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 guilty. I shouldn't have done it. And you're so hard and you have all these thoughts. And, you know, we just don't tend to ourselves. We're mean to ourselves. We're critical to our own selves. I have to think of it like this. We already have enough criticism in the world. I don't need me to criticize me. And when you understand and you tend to this inner critic, I think it's going to lead us to a healthy sense of self-worth. This is a journey I've been on. I haven't mastered it, but I will tell you that I am in pursuit of it. Because when I think of worthiness, worthiness is the foundation to everything. And I think that the inner critic doesn't allow us to get to that place, but Jesus will. And so will God. And when you treat it in a healthy way, you'll treat your emotions in a healthy way. You'll treat your mind in a healthy way. You'll treat your physical body in a healthy way from a place of a lot of compassion, a lot of love towards yourself. And I think that this is going to lead you to a lot of empowerment. And when other people do say things about you, or against you, or, you know, you're getting ready to go into the holidays and people just talk mean, or they've rejected you, or they didn't invite you, or, you know, all of those things, not that you don't care, but those things don't lead you to shame and they don't lead you to guilt. And you recognize that the Father in heaven loves you just as you are, broken you, and he wants to fix you. He wants to help you. He wants to recover you. He doesn't want that little child that's 3-year-old, right? Because think of that inner critic like a little child. He doesn't want that child, that inner critic, to put you down, because you'll never get to worthiness. You'll always think that it wasn't for you, that you deserve bad, that you deserve to be punished, that is not God. The voice of God says to you, you're worthy to be loved. And that part of you, you can co-labor with God to treat that part of you like a broken leg, to say, hey, you're hurting. You were hurting. Got it. I understand. But God can heal you. God can lead you to a healing. I want to encourage you this week, and I really want to challenge you to really think about that inner critic. Like, how often do you let it speak? Is it really loud? Is it shaming you? Is that the reason why you get so hurt when other people say things about you? Because it's that inner critic that hasn't been tended to. Let's be challenged, all of us, and let's tend to that inner critic this week.